The Saints are stuck in the middle. The Colts might need a pass catcher this year. And Seattle, could they be out on the quarterback market based on what they've done this free agency period? Welcome to Under the Helmet, looking at the NFL free agency ramifications on what that means for the NFL draft here in this preview series headed towards, barreling towards the big dynasty moment, which is the NFL draft in 2024. I am Chad Parsons of UTHDynasty.com. Let's get to it with the Saints, a team stuck in the middle. Reminds you of that famous song because they're a team that seem to push their chips in every single year to some degree. They're redlining in terms of a lot of the things they do contractually. Never really feels like they're on the up and up in terms of team building. And they're just good enough, right? They have Derek Carr, good enough at a quarterback, but good enough to do what? It would be my main question. And I would say this is going to tell a lot for us for the backup quarterback spot. Is Taysom Hill really going to be the backup quarterback as opposed to a Swiss Army knife player? That's one of the critical questions for me fantasy-wise and dynasty-wise, because Taysom Hill is old if you look at him as a running back, if you look at him as a tight end, but as a quarterback, he's just fine. So I wonder, can he win that job? Nathan Peterman, sorry, you don't really count. And Jake Haener took him in the early day three last year. It's a critical period. He's not going to be a runner. He's a little bit undersized, but good enough to earn that backup role. And that's what it's going to take. Jameis Winston is gone. And I think that's a critical question, is going to be Jake Haener as a dynasty stash and someone literally we may throw back like bad fish here in May or around rookie draft time. You stashed him on the hopes or prospect that Jameis Winston would leave. And it ultimately ended up that he did. But Taysom Hill might be the backup quarterback du jour, and that provides a lot of value for him as the rushing option. So no one's giving up on Taysom Hill at this point in time, but both of those players will be critical to see if the Saints end up splashing the quarterback position. Chris Olave and then what in the passing game is another aspect. They brought in Cedric Wilson. Sorry, that's not a big addition. A.T. Perry from a year ago flashed a little bit, but he doesn't have a lot of pedigree. Neither does Rashid Shaheed, who's a very acquired taste, probably a speed-based wide receiver three in a good offense. Now, the Saints aren't really a good offense. So Shaheed, more of that boom-bust and best ball special for a couple of highlight games in the season. But with Michael Thomas not working out in recent years, it's Chris Olave, who we really want more upside from. But one thing I kind of wonder, is he languishing here? And it's going to be more like an A.J. Brown in Tennessee situation for Chris Olave, where you say, hey, yards per route run, high efficiency, but you look at the final tally of what he did fantasy-wise, and it's just not as good as the talent. And the Saints are down picks. They only have two picks in the top 100, 14 and 45 overall. So this is going to be one where, honestly, they could go a variety of directions. I don't think developmental or future cast quarterback at 14 is in the cards. And then they're in an interesting spot at 45. They're going to get the scraps, if you will. I gave them in one of my rookie fit mocks, I gave them Xavier Leggett at 45 overall as someone that can be, you know, just fit in, and they already have two good enough wide receivers and one very good wide receiver. So that decreases the pressure on someone like Xavier Leggett. And then finally, you talk about the running back core and tight ends. I wouldn't be surprised again. Tight end, they're not really in that great of a spot. I think 45 is too early for Jatavion Sanders. I also think 14 is going to be on that outer line, and maybe they're going to miss on someone like Brock Bowers. But honestly, Brock Bowers might cure a lot of ills here. It could be a tight end, could be a pass catcher, could be a wide receiver, could be a playmaker for this team, where previously it was Alvin Kamara, playmaker all over the field. Well, he's venturing towards 30. And I also felt like last year, they brought in Jamal Williams. They took a luxury pick on Kendre Miller. Let's hope Kendre Miller comes up big in 2025 and Kamara is gone, because otherwise, you've burned daylight here for that running back core and for that rookie contract for Kendre Miller, and you've burned at least half of it before getting returns of any regard. So Kendre Miller, I think that pick is really biting them in terms of the impact that they've had so far. And then I think the other key aspect here is that playmaker in some regard. And I think Brock Bowers fits the best. That would probably cost them 14 overall. And then we could look at wide receiver there in the second round of note. Indianapolis Colts, they are also in the mid-first, and unlike the Saints, they're in a better situation here. They have their three regular allotment of selections, and they're in a different dynamic. They have a young, vibrant quarterback, Anthony Richardson. They addressed the backup quarterback spot with Joe Flacco after his huge run late in the season with the Cleveland Browns. So Anthony Richardson all in here in terms of the Colts team build, and very bullish just to see him in the backfield with Jonathan Taylor. That could be a dynamic running game with big play ability on a regular basis. Now, the backup running back spot, Evan Hull. He is the key player to watch here. Liked his profile coming out there of Northwestern. Day three profile a year ago. Injury derailed his entire season. Are they going to trust that? I have a sense of no. They brought in Trey Sermon, who I like. They also have Tyler Goodson, but this is a spot where running back more day three than day two. When you look at that big contract for Jonathan Taylor, you shouldn't spend heavily, but maybe it's 82 overall, but I would imagine fourth round plus there for the backup running back spot. But hopefully, and again, I think it's health related, but Evan Hull, I wanted to see what happened with he versus Zach Moss, or he in the possible running back two or challenging for that later last season. We didn't get to see any of that progression from Evan Hull. The wide receiver position, pass catcher feels like the spot for the Colts. We look at the backstop of where could Brock Bowers go, and somewhere in the mid-teens, I know they talked about the Bengals at 18, but man, it really does feel like it could be the Seahawks at 16, the Colts at 15. I already mentioned the Saints at 14, that he's not going to go far past, if past any of those spots. And I say that because tight end, they have a bunch of guys. You can make arguments. Kylan Granson has a good metric profile, sub-sized guy. He's flashed a little bit. Mo Ali Cox has been around forever. Jelani Woods is that big name. Missed all of last season with injury, but he flashed. He was a monster, super-sized option the year before that. A tough cover down the seam at 6'7" plus and 255, 260 plus pounds. Will Mallory was a tight end that actually checked all the eliminate the suck metrics with his profile a year ago. He ended up flashing a little bit. So they have a bunch of guys, but I don't think they have the guy. And the guy would be Brock Bowers, the guy and the playmaker. I think he fits really well here because he would be an easy on the eyes, get open, help the young quarterback out. But I also know at wide receiver, they need more of a speed and vertical element. Alec Pierce has been more of a contested guy. He has not provided much in that capacity. And then you look at Josh Downs. Is he going to basically be a great wide receiver three if you look at a strong passing game? Is he a weaker or decent wide receiver two? They paid Michael Pittman, but I think he could be superseded when you look at true alpha status. So he's good. He's more of a possession guy. He's a baby Michael Thomas in that capacity, probably with a whole heck of a lot of less upside from what we've seen from Michael Pittman's progression and career arc so far. And also, he doesn't have Drew Brees peppering him with highly accurate targets over and over again, like we saw Michael Thomas in his peak. So this is one where Alec Pierce fading a little bit as his rookie contract wears on. Josh Downs, want him to stay healthy, want him to be vibrant, see what he has there. But wide receiver slash tight end. And again, that's why I think Brock Bowers is a great fit here. They also might get a look at somebody I've seen Xavier Leggett in that zone. Maybe it's a Jalen Polk in that 46 overall range in round two. Maybe it's a Keon Coleman. But again, I think the fit is really important. And that's why maybe someone like Devontae Walker with more of a vertical ability, if he falls to 82, I think it's more round three than round two for someone like Devontae Walker. 46 might be Troy Franklin. That's also a good fit. Again, let's look at things that Alec Pierce, they thought they were getting with a round two pick, and they just have not gotten from Alec Pierce. Inconsistent play and not threatening the vertical stem of defenses in that capacity. So in general, I think this is a draft that is good news for Anthony Richardson because he's coming back healthy. And I think we're going to get one, if not two, in the first four or five rounds of weapons to help out the Colts. A couple times already this offseason when I've done my rookie skill position only mock drafts, and Brian Thomas at 15 has been the fit. Don't rule out Xavier Worthy. So I think both of those speed-based guys here in the mid-first round, it's going to be hard for Brian Thomas with how he worked out. Xavier Worthy, elite profile out of Texas and setting records with his speed. It's going to be tough for those guys to get outside the top 20 or 25, and that puts the Colts firmly in play for both of those targets in round one, along with Mr. Brock Bowers. discussing the Seattle Seahawks here, and they are pigeonholed into one position. I could see them drafting notably early, but they only have two picks in the top 100. But if they were to splash the skill positions, it looks like tight end. You look at what they did where they passed, or they didn't pass, but they actually got squeezed out by one spot. No, if Anthony Richardson would have been drafted as their quarterback of the future behind Geno Smith last year, but that has passed. Geno Smith is certainly good enough. He was better by some of the ancillary data than he was in the raw counting stats a year ago. They bring in Sam Howell after they lose Drew Lock. So Sam Howell, someone that flamed out in Washington as a starter, got full run even though he was a day three pick. He's one that now can have a really long, illustrious career as a backup with spots to start, in my opinion. So may not develop ever back all the way to being a trusted week one starter or a multi-year guy like a Baker Mayfield per se, but I do think he could have a long run as a mobile and a guy that can win a game. Backup quarterback in this league. Running back, they've splashed with Kenneth Walker, still on a rookie contract from round two pedigree. Zach Charbonnet entering year two from round two pedigree as well. They should not touch that position. They should go super cheap like Kenny McIntosh already on the roster, or something of the later day three or undrafted. Let's bring a guy in, see what we have here. Wide receiver, same thing. They've splashed the pot with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Everyone in Dynasty loves him. I'm skeptical just because, hey, Tyler Lockett's really good. DK Metcalf's locked in. And what are you doing? This is not an elite passing game to say two wide receivers are likely going to finish in the top 20, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba isn't even in the top two. So that makes it a struggle. This UTH is a team Tyler Lockett official podcast and stance here. But where I do think they could splash, because they've always had depth at tight end, they just lost a couple guys in free agency that have been with the team for quite some time this offseason. Noah Fant is back, and this is honestly bad news for Noah Fant. The good news is, obviously, they shredded the depth chart, so it's cleaned out a little bit. Pharaoh Brown, it's been a nomadic player. He is tight end too, so they're probably going to look to add a tight end. Now, to what degree? And here's the other thing. If Brock Bowers is staring him in the face at 16, not sure they say no to that, so that's in play. 81, you're looking at, you know, is that a Cade Stover type? I doubt Jatavion Sanders falls to that range of the third round. It could be a Theo Johnson as another name. So again, or heck, it could be a Ben Sinnott. So this is a decent wide receiver, tight end class, excuse me, in rounds 3 through 5 of this draft class. But that would be the only skill position need I see here for the Seahawks. They really do need to actually play up to the level of saying we have the best three wide receiver grouping in the NFL. They need Noah Fant to play better. And frankly, they need to give him more than 40 to 45% of the routes. So that's a deficiency there. And again, obviously for Dynasty purposes, I think Kenneth Walker is a little too high. Some people have him in the top 6 to 8 of the position. Zach Charbonnet being there is a pretty big demerit when you look at Kenneth Walker and what his upside is. Only 23 years old for this year, and I know the position isn't super deep. He is talented, but man, that depth chart is one that is worrisome when you look at lack of receiving usage, and then you also look at competition on your own depth chart with Zach Charbonnet playing plenty a year ago. So this one, again, feels like tight end or bust in the early rounds, and they don't have the full complement of picks here for the Seattle Seahawks in the top 100. Jacksonville Jaguars, and the theme for them is going to be speed. I look at this team, especially at wide receiver. Love Christian Kirk, but we have to know what type of player he is. You know, he is a really good number two. He could be a volume-based, you know, wide receiver one in a pinch. But they added Gabe Davis. Doesn't excite me. Zay Jones being back actually does. Parker Washington, want to see more out of him. Didn't see much so far in his career. But I think speed is the element. Evan Ingram saw big volume. That was great news. And him being back on a new contract with Jacksonville is a major boost to his dynasty profile, despite crossing that Mendoza line of 30 years old. But I would be looking at speed. This passing game with Evan Ingram being back, again, he's the biggest speed element there. But at tight end, you know, and crossing the field, not quite as much as the vertical pressure that can be provided. Same thing, as I mentioned, with the Colts, who I think are in a similar spot here, looking at someone like Brian Thomas or Xavier Worthy. I have a hard time thinking that Xavier Worthy gets past, say, Jacksonville, the Bengals here in the mid-first round, maybe the Steelers 20. The Dolphins, who all they do is collect speed at 21. It sounds crazy, but hey, like the coach said, you want me to say it? He's fast. So Xavier Worthy, again, the projections of him in the late first or even falling to the second round, I have a tough time seeing how that fits. And I'll just say, dynasty profile wise and dynasty decision making matrix wise, he's an elite profile. And if he goes round one, wheels up on his profile and valuation there. So Jacksonville, I think, is right in the crosshairs of the higher points of where Xavier Worthy could go in the mid-teens, in my opinion. And I also just want to take a step back and let's rewind. The Brenton Strange selection, which was day two, a tight end where you go, not that great of a profile. Evan Ingram, you know, I understand that at that point they didn't know that he was going to have a new contract or anything or how he was going to produce in 2023, but a very, you know, apropos, strange selection a year ago. So tight end, not a need now. When you look at, you know, I think Luke Farrell has shown enough. You still got Brenton Strange in his profile. They brought in Josiah DeGuara. They've got a lot of depth there at tight end. But I really think an impact wide receiver or someone that is going to make life easier on the coverages for Zay Jones over the top on some deeper routes. Gabe Davis, as we saw in Buffalo, if he is a wide receiver to be ignored, then he will punish you. And then Christian Kirk, moving the chains guy. I also don't think running back. I'll just say one point about running back here, which is they brought back D'Ernest Johnson, and I am here for it. I'm here like the Michael Jackson gif with eating popcorn in the theater. Tank Bigsby versus D'Ernest Johnson, and Tank Bigsby could not shake that guy. Could not shake him for the clear, clarified running back two role last year. D'Ernest Johnson probably didn't get what he was looking for in the trade, in the free agency market. And he goes back to Jacksonville and he says, round two, ding, 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 game on. And D'Ernest Johnson's one of my favorite stashes right now, just because I think he's like one of those little earworms, and he's getting into the soul of Tank Bigsby. Bigsby, you better bring it. Bring your lunch pail to win that job, because it is not going to be given to you as it wasn't in 2023 when you were a round three rookie. So Travis Etienne, I think his role is safe, but Bigsby versus D'Ernest Johnson, let's go. And finally, the backup quarterback spot. They bring in Mac Jones, and like Sam Howell, like some of these others, you don't work out as a starter, you can have a long runway here to be a backup quarterback. And I think Mac Jones, this is a really good spot for him to sit, develop a little more, let things cool down from all the high intensity you had to basically be Tom Brady's heir there in New England, and have a lot of pressure on a team that was eroding and crumbling around you. So I think this is one where, honestly, and the dynasty valuation for Trevor Lawrence, if they get an impact pass catcher and this opens up the offense a little more, we might see the best season out of Trevor Lawrence. And frankly, we need to, because he's someone that is flatlined in terms of his upside projection so far as a 101, an anointed game changer. And I think there's also a difference between changing an NFL franchise as a quarterback and changing the outcome dynasty wise as a 101 drafted quarterback. And Trevor Lawrence is a good example of a guy that comes in first overall pick, but not an elite profile because he is not an impact or at least high enough bar for his rushing upside coming out of college. So he's a good example of someone that, he hit, you know, he already has a fantasy starter season. But will he be an impact player? Will he have a high QB1 finish? Will he be someone that has 4, 5, 6, you know, seasons in the top 10? These are all major dynasty and fantasy question marks, even though he looks well on his way to impacting the Jaguars in an overtly positive way from where their trajectory was. You think about, you know, how they got out of that period of Blake Bortles. They were a quarter away or a half away from, you know, I think it was going to the Super Bowl against that Patriots team years ago. And then since then, you know, and spending that high pick on Leonard Fournette and Blake Bortles and that whole regime being gone after that one huge, great season in the sun. And now you have Trevor Lawrence, you know, getting them on a new trajectory. But again, I think it's mainly going to be speed and his wide receiver in the mid first round if they go in the skill positions of note. All right, that'll do it here for this installment, continuing our look at all the NFL team previews for Dynasty, some of the question marks, and what their most likely pathway is for the skill positions in the NFL draft here in 2024. I'm Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.